John chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the truth that Jesus spoke and the truth that he exemplified so completely giving his life on our behalf so that we could be delivered from destruction, so that we could be made free in him. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us to, in a day that we honor and cherish the sacrifice that others have made on our behalf, help us to always put your sacrifice at the forefront, and just help us to be inspired by both, that we would learn from that and learn to love as others have and as you have loved us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And it is on this day of our calendar year that we pause to honor and remember those of our country who have served and those who continue to serve in our armed forces and search and rescue and in the RCMP. And we honor them and we are grateful to them because we recognize that out of love for their country and community, they have given of themselves. All of them could have chosen to use the prime years of their lives for their own pursuits. They could have chosen other more lucrative professions. They could have pursued a career perhaps in professional sports, but instead, motivated by a sense of duty, they instead chose willingly to give their prime years of life to serve their country. Some gave up their physical health in the service for their country, being wounded in action and having to return home with a permanent disability. Others ended up giving up their mental health, that they may have healed from the wounds on the outside, but it might be years yet before many of them are healed from the wounds on the inside. And up until recently, we lacked the understanding of really how to even help such individuals. But as well, too, we recognize the fallen. We recognize many that gave the ultimate sacrifice, and they laid down their lives on behalf of their country. And despite what may be our misgivings about war itself, and despite frustrations we may have looking back in the past and seeing how political leaders made poor choices that could have led to wars either being completely averted or at least reduced in scope, it is something that today we cannot help but value and appreciate the service and sacrifice of those who have served and those who continue to serve. And why is that? We realize it's because of what they gave for us. And this passage we read this morning, our Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples of his love for them and his charge to them that they would continue in his love, that they would commit to loving each other in the same manner and to the same extent as he loved them. And we see that he then makes a statement, the truth of which we often acknowledge in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And love is a word that we use a lot, and sometimes we tend to misuse it. It's interesting because you actually find in Greek that there's many different words that are still translated as love in English, and each one has a different meaning, and it kind of really helps a person to figure out what the difference is. For us, we can say, well, I love to have chocolate, I love cheese, I love different things like that. And then we can say, well, I love a person, and we would say, okay, well, that those kind of loves are two totally different things. But in our language, we can't really articulate that, unfortunately. But we recognize, too, that love is often something that we claim to possess, but we often fail to demonstrate. It's something that it is easy to say, but it's not always easy to show. And we realize that love is a feeling that we can have in a way, but we realize that it should be much more than that. Feelings change, that we realize in a day that we can be angry and sad and joyful and stunned, and that can all be in a course of 60 seconds sometimes, depending on what's happening around us. But we want to understand love should be something much more constant, something much more grounded, something much more powerful. And love should be not just a feeling, but an action, something that is not just spoken, but demonstrated, that's shown in a very tangible way. And so we ask the question, well, how do we actually show love? If someone has a question, okay, do you really love this person? How could they tell that? And ultimately, we would say, we demonstrate our love by what we're willing to give to others with no thought of return. And so that's the thought. Our willingness to give demonstrates the reality of our love. That if we are willing to give to someone else, it demonstrates that we love them. If we say, no, I'm not giving to you, I'm not helping you out when you're in a time of need, then we would say, okay, well, is that love genuine? So our willingness to give demonstrates the reality of our love, but as well, the amount that we are willing to give demonstrates the depth of our love. That we may help a person out now and then, but when we're called on to make a tremendous sacrifice for them, that sometimes where we say, wait a minute, I don't feel that I can do that. You're asking too much of me. And but yet if we're saying, yes, I am willing to give it all, I'm willing to even give my life for someone, I'm willing to die that others might live, that we would say, wow, that is definitely a sign of love. And a man can have no greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. And recognizing that truth causes us to recognize the love that those that have fallen had for their country. And this day and throughout the year, we cannot help but honor them. But ultimately, we do recognize that as Jesus stated this principle, Jesus himself was just about to go and demonstrate what it meant more than anyone else ever has or ever could. And so the principle is plain, that if you love, you give. And John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is because he loved, because his love was so deep for us, he was willing to give his Son for us. The most precious thing that he possessed, he was willing to sacrifice that for our sakes. We think as well, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, speaking of the gospel of God desires all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That Jesus, God's own Son, that he gave his life willingly for all men to be a ransom for all. That we read of that in John chapter 10, where it says in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And he spoke of himself in that same passage, verse 11, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so we realize that it wasn't something, even though it seemed that he was a victim of his circumstances, that he had the mob led by his enemies bring him into the Sanhedrin for a show trial and then have him brought to the Romans to be judged and have the mob basically convince Pilate to continue on with the miscarriage of justice and to have the Roman soldiers torture him and put him on the cross, that we could easily think, oh, he was a victim. He didn't want for that to happen. He was this martyr for those that were cruel to him, those that didn't understand him. But we realize, no, he wasn't. He was the one that was actually in control in that situation. He had the power to lay his life down. And you actually see throughout that whole time of his giving of his life that there was at many moments where we think of Pilate where he said, well, don't you know that I have power to condemn me? I have power to release you. And Jesus said, you don't have any power at all. And we actually find Pilate went out and tried to find a way to make it so that he could release Jesus, and he found himself to be powerless. And it is because he chose to do that he is the good shepherd, and he gave his life for us so that we could become part of his fold. We see as well Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, where it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And verse 14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the thing, that he made that choice to give himself for us. And it was to save us from our sins, to redeem us from our iniquity, and to help us to, as he works in us through the power of the Spirit within us, that we would be purified and becoming this peculiar people, this people that stood out from the crowd, that were zealous of good works, where we desire to do good, we desire to help others, we desire to serve, that this is what he did, and he was willing to do that. And so we understand that the love of God the Father and the love of God the Son was demonstrated forever by what they were willing to give for us. And really, when we think about it, what makes it even more incredible is that while he gave his life for us, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, we were at enmity with him, yet he was willing to die for us. And it was by that love that he demonstrated by his giving of his life, that it was through that he sought to win our hearts, and so that through repentance and faith that redemption could be brought to our lives. And so just as with our fallen soldiers, we cannot help but show our gratitude and appreciation for the sacrifice Jesus Christ made on our behalf. But nevertheless, we do realize that the love that was he showed to us by giving him himself for us, it was not simply for our own benefit, but it was also to serve as a pattern and as an example that we're to follow. And that is made very clear in various passages of scriptures. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And so we see there, Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. And if the verse stopped there, we as husbands would say, oh yeah, that should be easy. We can manage that. But we realize it doesn't stop there. He says, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That it puts it in very clear terms for us. That as I demonstrated to you my love for you, by giving myself fully and completely for you, that is the exact same love to the same level that I want you to show to your wife, the same willingness to give of yourself, to sacrifice for yourself for the good of the other person, with no thought of return. That we want to realize that, and really the thought of it is that God didn't love us when we were beautiful. God didn't wait until we had our act together before He set His love upon us. He looked upon us when we were in our sin, and that there was nothing really worthy of His love in many ways, yet He set His love upon us, and we rejoice in that. And it's really through the power of His love that we as His church are transformed, and we're made into this image of being a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And it's the same way as a husband, as a husband learns to give himself for his wife, that's what enables his wife to flourish and to become the person God designed for her to be through the love of her husband. And so it's the thought that if we love, we give. And we do it selflessly, we do it sacrificially, with no thought of return. And we see this principle as well in 1 John 3:16. If you turn there with me, 1 John 3:16. First John 3 and verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And that's the thought, that we understand God's love based on the sacrifice at Calvary on our behalf. That's how we understand it, that's how we realize how great it is. But then we see what He says, because He laid down His life for us, so then we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So for one another, we need to be willing to lay our lives down, that we put others first. We don't seek our own things, we seek the things of others. We seek to be servants for others. And the next two verses really reinforce that sentiment. It says, "For whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so we realize that God's love is really defined and characterized by this principle of seeing what a need is in the life of an individual, and recognizing the capacity that one has to meet that need, and then stepping forward, being moved with compassion to do and to give whatever is necessary to have that need met. That's really when we think of God's pattern of His love, where He has these resources at His disposal, and He will do everything He can and give of the resources that He has so that someone can be helped. And so man needed salvation. Man couldn't save himself. He had no hope outside of God. And so He said, the only way of salvation is if I give them my Son to die in their place and be their substitute sacrifice. And He could have said, well, no, even though they're needy, I don't want to give up my Son. I'm holding on to Him, and they're just going to have to perish. No, He was willing to do that. He said, I'm going to give what I have, no matter what it costs, to help these individuals, to give them what they need. And so we're so thankful for that, that all of us were sinners in need of a Savior, and He gave Himself as a ransom for us all, to save us from our sins, to save us from ourselves. That His grace and His work of atonement is extended unto all men, no matter what tribe or tongue they are, and that's why we want to get the gospel out to every person in every corner of the world, because all that believe in Him can receive of His grace and forgiveness. And that is our example to follow. That is what He's laid out for us. And so if we see someone that's in need, and we look at with what we have, that we have the ability to help that person, But then we say, well, I don't want to. I'm uncomfortable doing that. I might help them, but they might take advantage of me. We want to realize we're not following Christ's example when we do that. We're not obeying the charge that he gave to us. Our love has to be more than just talk. It has to be shown in deed and in truth. That we don't just want to say that we love someone. We want to demonstrate it by giving of what we have for others. And sometimes we may not have material resources or things like that, and sometimes it's a matter of giving of ourselves and doing what we can to help someone else. Sometimes just we realize just giving time to someone else can be a very valuable thing that we can give. And when people see that we're willing to do that, they know that it's just one way that we can demonstrate our love to them. But of course, our problem is that on our own, left to ourselves, what is our tendency? It's not to be selfless, it's to be selfish. That we tend to be self-focused, self-centered, self-absorbed, where we're thinking about what we want, and we don't even sometimes even kind of lift our eyes up enough to see the needs of people around us. We're looking out for number one. We're putting ourselves first, and we're expecting others to make sacrifices for our own benefit and comfort. And the thing is that so much of today's society is that focus of living for ourselves, and we want to realize that we are mistaken if we think that living for ourselves is going to make us happy. Because the truth is that so often what happens is if we're selfish, we're miserable people. That we don't find any real joy or fulfillment in life. Because really our lives are not making any difference in our community because they're always just live for self. And Winston Churchill once said that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And I think that's very important that we understand that, that we can be so concerned with getting a living and getting what we want for ourselves, but if we never learn to give, then we never really have a life like we should have. And the more we learn to give, the more we learn to love in action, the more we learn to give of ourselves, we'll find the happier we will become, and the more blessed will our community, nation, and world be as well. And so as we recognize that God is working in our lives and in our hearts each day, we recognize that he wants to develop within us a giving heart, where we are willing and glad to give of what we have for the benefit of others with no thought of return, that we're willing to give of ourselves for others. That God wants us to become a conduit of his love and compassion. And we actually find that the more that we give, the more that we are given, and the greater we are blessed. Jesus made this statement in Luke 6:38. He said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so it's the idea, as we give out, that there's the promise of being given back, that as we learn to do that, we give of ourselves, we find that we're blessed. And a lot of times, we don't have more than what we thought we have. Or I mean, we have less than what we thought we would. We have more than what we thought we would. But of course, on the flip side, the more selfish we are and the more we just focus on keeping what we have for ourselves, the more we miss out on the blessings that we could have. And there's many around us that have needs, and if God has given us any way that we can help them, we want to try to do that because it's a blessing to us, but we're going to miss out on that blessing if we don't. Read this morning in Proverbs chapter 11, principle given verse 24, it says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but attendeth to poverty. And that's something try to do the math on that doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but it's kind of God's math, where there's times where we're willing to give to others, but yet we find we have more. But then when we're stingy and selfish, we're holding on to stuff, and then we find we just don't seem to have what we thought we did. That it keeps kind of, bills come up, and we just don't have the same amount that we thought we would have. And it's really, we want to understand, we've talked about this before, the idea of God wants us to be a conduit, not a holding tank, that He wants things to flow through us to others. And if we basically close the valve where we're going off to other people, and we say, "Oh Lord, just bring the blessings to me," and He closes off His valve and says, "Until you open that other one and let it flow to other people, I'm not giving you any more." And that goes for so many different things in the Christian life. But we want to realize that as we learn, as He gives to us, we give to others that we're blessed. And we see that it's as well, further verses, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." If we have something that can benefit others and we just hoard it, we're going to miss out. But instead, if we're willing to share it, to help other people, then it can be a blessing, and we receive a blessing as well. And so, as we look around us, if we see that there's people that have needs, and we look at what God has given us, and we can use it to meet the needs of others, we need to be willing to give, even sacrificially, trusting that God is going to honor our sacrifice and make sure that we're looked after. And we really can see this in action with the testimony of the churches of Macedonia as spoken of by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you turn there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they are willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." That what had happened is the churches of Macedonia, so we think of like Philippi and churches in that area there, that they had heard that there was a great need, that there was a famine, I believe, at that time, and saints were struggling at different parts of the world, and they wanted to do something to help. But the thing was, they were poor, they were being persecuted by different individuals in their area, and it was not easy for them, but yet even though they were in difficult straits themselves, they wanted to give. And so we find that they gave beyond their power. They gave sacrificially to help meet the needs of others. And so when Paul passed through there, they presented him this gift, and he looked at it and the amount that it was, and he knew their situation, and it was somewhere he really was very reluctant to do this. Like, "You guys need this for yourselves. Why are you giving so much for others?" And they basically insisted that they prayed with much entreaty, "Please receive our gift. Please take it. We want to help these people. We want to do something for them." And we find really the heart behind all of this. In verse 5, it says, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." And it's the thought that really they had already given themselves to God. They'd given themselves to the service of others. And so giving away what meager possessions they had, that was not a problem to them. That they said, "You already have all of me, and so all that I have is if it can help someone else, if I can, I might do without for a time, but if it helps someone else live and survive another day and have some sustenance for a few days, that I'm willing to do that." And so we see that heart, we see the love that they had a giving heart. that it wasn't just, okay, well, I'll just give a little bit of what I have, that they gave as much as they could. And they were honored by God here and blessed of God as a result. And so we want to understand that God wants to work in our hearts to transform us from the inside out. He knows that if we have selfish hearts, that we're just not going to have a life that's very fulfilling to ourselves or others. He wants to work in us that it changes around so that we have giving hearts. That He has blessed us so greatly by what He has given to us, and we have benefited greatly from the sacrifice of others as well in this country. And so we want to appreciate that gift that we have been given. We don't ever want to take that for granted of freedoms that we have that people fought and died for, but so much more the spiritual freedom and deliverance that we have through the Lord Jesus of Christ. We want to value that, cherish that, and just realize how great a sacrifice was given on our behalf. But as well, we want to realize the example that we're to follow, the charge that He has given us to keep, that we need to give as we have received, we need to love as we have been loved, and we need to demonstrate the love of God to others by giving. And it is not something that we can do in our own strength, that we need His empowering to have Him show His love to others through us. And so it isn't just about money or anything like that. It's sometimes giving of ourselves, giving of our time, just being sometimes a listening ear for someone, just being willing to make sacrifices for the better of others. And it's not something where we do it with any thought of return, but yet we know that as we do it with that heart, that God will make sure that there is a blessing. And so may the Lord help us to learn to do that, to learn to have giving hearts for the blessing of others around us and for our own blessing. And may we yield to this work in our hearts, that we would have giving hearts not only this day, but throughout the year. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness to us, and we thank You for the great gift that You've given unto us of Your Son. And Lord, we just pray that You would help us to show the same love to others that You've shown to us. Help us to give of ourselves for the sake of others, Lord, that they might be helped, that we may find Your true joy of serving others, and that You might be glorified. We just pray Your blessing upon us this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.